This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Radio South Tyneside, your caring community radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
The heart of Jesus sounds so very heavy in today's Bible reading. He has a mission to accomplish. He's about to bring fire to earth, so he says. In other words, cataclysmic change, which will bring division and strife. But it must take place in order to rescue people from sin, death, and darkness. The cross is constantly on his mind. He has a task to perform, and it weighs heavily upon his shoulders. He's about to give his life as a sacrifice for many. Now, what exactly does that mean? Let's for a moment revisit the story of Abraham in order to understand why Jesus had to die. This is a song called Abraham and Isaac from my album Kaleidoscope of Characters.
Abraham was tested, oh so sorely tested. He just got a message from the living God. Go down to Moriah, sacrifice your boy there. Burn him as an offering, then report to me. Early the next morning, as the day was dawning, saddled up his donkey, set off on his way. Isaac travelled with him, trusting and unknowing, lamb for the burnt offering, Abraham load grain. Come to your daddy, my little laddie, don't think badly of me, I've a job to do. He put him on an altar and he didn't falter, raised his knife to slay him, then he heard a voice. Abraham, don't hurt him, lay no hand upon him. Now God knows you're faithful, offered him your son. Now what takes the biscuit from a nearby thicket? Abraham found a ram there, offered it instead. Dance to your daddy, my little laddie. God has saved us both, now I am dancing too.
In trying to understand the true purpose of Jesus' mission, we have to understand the meaning of the word sacrifice. Sacrifice is when someone dies in someone else's place. Abraham had been ordered by God to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice, but at the last minute, as Abraham raised his knife to kill him, God stopped him from doing so, and a ram was provided by God to be sacrificed in his son's place. Abraham's son had been under the power of death. He was a sin offering, but a ram was offered in his place, rescuing him. The ram paid the price instead. Here then is the great symbolism. Jesus too became a lamb to the slaughter, that we who deserve death through our sins might be set free. He takes our place. John the Baptist recognized Jesus as this sacrifice too. In John's Gospel, we're told what the Baptist said when Jesus approached him for baptism in the Jordan River. It says, "The next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'" Here's Keith and Kristen Getty with "Behold the Lamb of God."
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. And so we share in this bread of life, and we drink sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. Body of our Savior Jesus Christ, torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one. Every stain of sin shed for you. Drink and remember, He drank death's cup that all may enter in to receive the life of God. So we share in this bread of life.
Let's listen to that heavy-hearted reading from Luke 12, beginning to read at verse 49. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Jesus seems to know that his death and resurrection will bring about controversy and division. He gives the impression that the waves are closing over him, oppressing him, until all is accomplished. did he wonder whether he would prove faithful to his task? Regardless, he resolutely pressed on. Jesus was broken, that we might be whole. Here's a song by Janet Lunt called Broken for Me, Broken for You.
Broken for me, broken for you, the body of Jesus, broken for you. He offered his body, he poured out. Was broken that we might be whole. Broken for me, broken for you, the body of Jesus, broken for you.
You know, we too can feel that brokenness at times, that sense of helplessness. We too can be swamped by circumstances or by a future that seems so mapped out for us, from which there seems to be no escape. We can sometimes feel so utterly unworthy and incapable of accomplishing anything in life. Broken. There was a water bearer in India who had two large pots. One hung on each end of a pole which he carried across his neck. One of the pots had a crack in it. While the other pot was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water at the end of the long walk from the stream to the master's house, the cracked pot arrived only half full. For a full 2 years this went on daily, with the bearer delivering only 1.5 pots full of water to his master's house. The perfect pot was proud of its accomplishments, perfect to the end for which it was made. But the poor cracked pot was ashamed of its own imperfection, and miserable that it was able to accomplish only half of what it had been made to do. After 2 years of what it perceived to be a bitter failure, it spoke to the water bearer one day by the stream. "I'm ashamed of myself, and I want to apologize to you." "Why?" asked the bearer. "What are you ashamed of?" "I have been able for these past 2 years to deliver only half my load because this crack in my side causes water to leak out all the way back to your master's house. Because of my flaws, you have to do all of this work and you don't get full value from your efforts," the pot said. The water bearer felt sorry for the old cracked pot, and in his compassion he said, "As we return to the master's house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path." Indeed, as they went up the hill, the old cracked pot took notice of the sun warming the beautiful wild flowers on the side of the path, and this cheered it some. But at the end of the trail, It still felt bad because it had leaked out half of its load, and so again it apologised to the bearer for its failure. The bearer said to the pot, "Did you notice that there were flowers only on your side of the path, but not on the other pot's side? That's because I have always known about your flaw, and I took advantage of it. I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day while we walk back from the stream, you've watered them. For 2 years I've been able to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate my master's table. Without you being just the way you are, he would not have this beauty to grace his house."
Hail, true body, born of Mary, by a wondrous virgin birth, thou who on the cross wast offered to redeem the sons of earth, thou whose side became a fountain, pouring forth thy precious blood, give us now and at our dying thine own self to be our food. O sweetest Jesus, O gracious Jesus, O Jesus, blessed Mary's Son.
That was a hymn from Ancient and Modern called Hail True Body. We might never come to appreciate that God may have actually used our brokenness to bring about healing and beauty to those around us. Sometimes we can be so blind. I went to the cinema recently with a friend of mine to see a film called Where the Crawdads Sing. This too was about brokenness in relationships. The storyline was very powerful, the photography amazing, the outcome quite unpredictable, but when it ended, the audience missed the best part by leaving the minute the credits came up. The theme song at the end, written and sung by Taylor Swift, is one of those pieces of music you just can't get out of your head. And the audience failed to hear it. They were too busy collecting their belongings and finding their way out in the darkness. Are we missing out big time on the real answer to this world's problems? Love, not hatred. Forgiveness, not revenge. Generosity of spirit and self-sacrifice rather than meanness and greed. The core message of Jesus' teaching. The good news of Jesus did bring division, just as Jesus predicted it would. But that's certainly not because the message itself was wrong or could be found wanting. It just wasn't heeded. And of course there have been those who wanted to eradicate it. And there have been those who've applied it to suit their own set of rules and their own prejudices. But his undiluted message still remains the answer to this world's ills. Let's listen to that song by Taylor Swift. It's about a young girl who has to grow up to live by her own set of rules, as she's got no one, no family to guide her. It's called Carolina.
Oh, Carolina, creeks running through my veins. Lost I was born, lonesome I came, lonesome I stay. Carolina knows why 4 years I roam. Free as these birds, light as whispers, Carolina knows. And you didn't see me here, no, they never did see me here. And she's in my dreams, into the mist, into the clouds. Don't leave toughest, I'll make it count. And there are places I will never, ever go, and things that only Carolina will ever know.
Why can't we hear the love song the message of Jesus brings? Why can't we understand the saving grace and unconditional love he offers to us all? 6 years ago, at the time the Brexit vote took place, I was rather broken myself. Today's reading was the theme then, and because I wasn't well, I found it impossible to preach a simple sermon or even prepare for my radio program on this theme. For I could see from the reading just how divided our nation was, how polarized it had become, and I really feared for our future. There was a pretty depressing article at the time in the New Yorker magazine depicting the UK as a John Cleese figure doing one of his funny walks, stepping off a cliff into nothingness. However, what strengthened and re-energized me was quite a different image, just as striking, from the Bible. It was the image of Peter stepping out of the boat to walk on waters of faith, someone who kept his eyes on Jesus and trusted in him, rather than fixate in terror at the wind and the waves. How easy it is to fixate on today's problems. In the last few years, hunger has increased dramatically around the world. We've seen mass displacement of people, fleeing from war and poverty. We've seen an acceleration in climate change, unprecedented temperature rises, sea levels rising, abuse, persecution, not to mention the COVID-19 outbreaks. But I've found that when I keep my eyes on Jesus and try my best to live by his principles of compassion, truth and understanding, despite it all, he lifts me up and restores me. If only the world could hold to such principles, how different things would be. Here's a beautiful song by Josh Groban, You Raise Me Up.
When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence till you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I on your shoulders, you raise me up to more than I can be. Thank you. more than I can be.
As we interpret the signs of the times, let us stand firm in faith. St. Matthew tells us, because of the multiplication of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. There is power in love. No love is higher. No love is wider. No love is deeper. No love is truer. No love is higher. No love is wider. No love is like his. So thank you for listening to our programme today. I'm afraid our time has run out again. We're going to end our programme with the hymn I mentioned called Here is Love, Vast as the Ocean, and it's sung by Robin Mark. Have a good week, everyone. Say goodbye, Andrew.
Bye, everyone.
And goodbye from me, Sheila Hamill. See you next week. Bye for now.
Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the prince of life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood.